Hey friends, welcome to the Drivecast, a daily podcast designed to help us read it in, pray it up, and live it out. My name's Dan, and I serve as the teaching pastor for our Worthington campus. I'm so grateful that you're starting your day with us today. As we get started, I want you to think about the phrase spiritual intimacy. I know sometimes that language can feel a little abstract. We talk about it a lot at LifePoint, or maybe even a little sentimental. But at its core, we aren't talking about a feeling or an emotional high. We are talking about proximity. We are talking about the reality that when we are rescued by Jesus, we aren't just handed a rule book or a set of rituals to manage our behavior. We are invited into a living, breathing dynamic with the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the catch. And I think all of this we feel in the chaos of our modern lives. This relationship isn't a microwave meal. It's a slow cooker. Right? It is a long, steady obedience in the same direction, as pastor and author Eugene Peterson calls it. Just like you don't become best friends with someone after one coffee conversation, deep spiritual traction, it takes time. It's organic. It's like watching a child grow from an infant to a toddler and eventually into an adult. You don't see the growth happening in the moment, but over time, everything changes. So, how do we track that change? How do we get that proximity? Let's go to the text. So first, let's read it in. Our passage today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 12 through 18 in the ESV. And Paul is writing here, contrasting the old way of relating to God through the law with the new way of relating to God through the Spirit. And he references Moses, whose face physically shone after meeting with God on Mount Sinai, to the point where he had to wear a veil because the people were terrified. Here's what Paul says. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil on his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, there is so much here. Notice the phrase in verse 18, unveiled face. The ancient world, and especially in the story of Exodus, the glory of God was something so heavy, so intense, with so much gravitas, it had to be mediated. It had to be veiled, right? But Paul is saying that because of Jesus, that veil and the necessity of that veil is gone. We have direct access. We don't need to be afraid of the glory of God. We can look at right at it. And what happens when we look at him? We become like him. The text says that we are being transformed. The Greek word here gives us our English word metamorphosis. It's a total structural change, but catch the pacing, from one degree of glory to another. That is the key for us today. Real transformation is rarely a lightning bolt moment. It is usually a surprise. It happens by degrees as we behold him in scripture, in silence, reflection, prayer, and community. We start to reflect him. We become, in other words, mirrors. The question we have to ask ourselves isn't, am I perfect yet? The question is, am I reflecting the one I'm looking at? When we spend time in his presence, the glow we take away isn't physical light like Moses had. It's the weight of glory manifesting as character and formation in our inner worlds. It looks like anger being replaced by patience. It looks like frustration crowded out by grace. It looks like becoming a truly human being, restored the way we were designed to be. Now, let's take that truth and pray it up. And I want to invite you, wherever you are, unless you're driving in heavy traffic right now, to take a moment to center yourself. What I mean by that is we often rush through prayer like a grocery list, right? But I think intimacy requires lingering. And so before we pray, just I invite you to shut your eyes and just think about, like, are there any places where you're like feeling particularly tense? Any things that you're particularly worried about or anxious about? And maybe if you have the ability to do that, hold those things with your hands out in front of you, facing up, with your palms facing up. Name them. And then as a symbolic act of releasing these things before the Lord, turn your hands, your palms facing down, and say, Lord, I release these things to you. The scriptures mention Enoch in Genesis as a man who walked with God. That is our goal. Not running for God, walking with him. Let's pray together. Father, we confess that we are often in a hurry. We want the maturity of an adult, but we only want to put in the time of an infant. We ask, right now, that you would slow us down. Lord, give us an increased appetite for your presence, not just for your blessings or for answers to our problems, but for you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would reveal the veil that might still be over our hearts. Is there an area where we are hiding from you? Is there a part of our lives, our finances, our relationships, our anxieties that we haven't brought into the light of your face? Remove the veil. Give us the courage to be vulnerable, transparent before you, vulnerable before our community, because we know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And Lord, we pray for the long view. Just as a parent watches a child grow through stumbling and learning, help us to be patient with our own souls. Show us the next small step. Not asking for the whole map, just the next step in this walk of intimacy. Transform our hearts, soften our defenses. Let our attitudes today reflect the beauty of Jesus to everyone we encounter at work, at school, or at home. And finally, let's look at how we live this out. Paul said we are moving from one degree of glory to another. And the problem is, most of us are terrible at measuring those degrees. We are prone to look in the mirror and only see our failures, our stumbling ups, and our frailty, and how far we still have to go. We get stuck in the gap between who we are and who we want to be. But living this out requires looking in the rearview mirror with the eyes of grace. I want to challenge you today to do something specific. Think back to the early days of your faith, of following Jesus. Or if you've been walking with him for a long time, think back just a couple years ago. Identify the growth. Don't look for perfection. Look for trajectory. Maybe 5 years ago, a critical comment from a coworker would have ruined your week and caused you to lash out. Today, maybe it would ruin your morning and you're able to respond with silence instead of rage. Friends, that is the Holy Spirit. That is the degree of glory, one degree of glory. We often fail to recognize how far grace has brought us. When we acknowledge that growth, it fuels our desire for more intimacy. It proves that this looking at Jesus thing actually works. And so as you go about your day, I want you to carry this question with you. Where is the evidence of God's grace in my character? Find one thing. Maybe you're a little kinder, a little slower to judge, quicker to forgive. Spot it and thank God for it. And then reflect on that desire. Do you want more of Him? Spiritual intimacy isn't something we achieve and then retire from. It is an appetite that grows the more we feed it. Let your growth today fuel your hunger for Him tomorrow. Let's be the people who walk around with unveiled faces, reflecting the King to a world that so desperately needs to see Him. Friends, thanks for tuning into the Drivecast. We'll see you back here tomorrow.